It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Brains in the world, that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
We're here on the Tony Sands Show. Well, first of all, let me say welcome to the Tony Sands Show. I'm your co-host, Mr. Bills, out of Houston, Texas, by way of Dallas, Texas. I'll be filling in for my main man, Tony, today, as he had to take care of some business. I'm going to wish him safe travels on his way to Cleveland, Ohio today. But, hey, let's just jump into this. You know, we got a few topics that I want to get into. You know, first I'm going to jump into the Josh Freeman situation with him and his bus organization. Then we're going to jump into Matt Schaub, the infamous Matt Schaub, in which he's getting destroyed. When I say destroyed by his fans or by the fans of the Houston Texans, it is absolutely terrible what's happening to him in the great city of Houston. We're also jumping to the Steelers, Pittsburgh Steelers, and the New York Giants. As we both know, as we all know, both of those are 0-4 as we speak in the NFL. I don't know what's going on with either one of those teams right now, but we're going to try to jump into and figure it out. You know, I'll give y'all a couple of things or pointers that I think was the problem with both of those organizations. And after that, we'll jump into Lane Kiffin. As we all know, or as some people might not know, he was fired as USC's head football coach. Good move, bad move for USC. I personally think it's an awesome move for them. But, hey, we'll jump into that. And then once we jump into that, we'll get into the state of the program, the state of USC, University of Southern California. We'll figure out how does the nation, or how do, you know, I guess how I feel about the program and where it's headed in the near future or in the far future. We don't know, but I'll give you my honest opinion on what I think about the program. I'll also jump into the state of University of Texas. You know, that's my state. I'm a big Longhorns fan. Grew up always wanting to play for the University of Texas, and so does a lot of kids out of the big, great state of Texas. They all want to go grow up and play for the University of Texas and be a Longhorn. But they have problems also. And one problem is people are calling for Mack Brown to step down as a football coach. But some other things going on within University of Texas. Athletic director announced his retirement at the end of this year. So does that play in hand with Mack Brown possibly stepping down and becoming the new athletic director? Or does he fight against what a lot of the people are wanting in him to basically step down as head coach and give the reins over to someone fresher, a new face? You know, I don't know what's going to happen, but we'll definitely figure it out. And I guess halfway through the first segment of the show, I'll bring on, Tina? If I'm not mistaken, Tina Blunt from Little Miss Platinum Pageant, in, I guess, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I don't know much about the situation or what was going on, but we'll definitely have her. We're definitely happy to have her on and she'll explain to you guys what's going on with her, you know, and what Little Miss Platinum Pageants is all of. And, you know, after that, we'll bring on my main man, BC Insider. He has an inside scoop on the Denver Broncos and the things that are going on as far as the Denver Broncos organization is concerned. We all know that they have a big game coming up this week at Cowboys Stadium. And I am a diehard Cowboys fan. Not biased, but a diehard fan. And this should be a pretty good. We'll get his insight on that game and, you know, Peyton Manning and his hot streak that he's on right now. And, you know, we'll just go after that. We'll just freestyle and then we'll figure out a couple of topics that we might want to go into in it and just, you know, get deeper into. So right now we're going to go into a commercial break, pay a couple of bills, and after that we'll jump right back into those specific topics.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now. If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball. Yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Praise in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
We're back here live on the Tony Sands Show. I'm your main man, co-host Mr. Bibbs out of the great state of Texas. I'm filling in once again for my man Tony Sands, as he had to take care of some business today. But like I said, before we went on that commercial break, we're going to jump into those topics. And the first topic that I want to get deeper into was the Josh Freeman situation with him and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay, as we all know, is having a horrible season as of the first 4 weeks. And Josh Freeman was benched as the starting quarterback for any quarterback. Kind of been a terrible situation for Josh Freeman, I would say. First being benched after week three for a rookie, and then, you know, being inactive for the game was also, I guess, a terrible thing for him. And then, not to mention, the Buff organization did something terrible and leaked some very important information about him entering an NFL drug rehab program, some information that should have never gotten out. And, you know, it's been all kind of speculation as to why this was even brought up, or why this even got out to the media. And right now, it's just a whole whirlwind for Josh Freeman. I personally think Josh, I do agree with the bit. That's going on with him and his NFL career at this present moment. For the Bucs organization to let something like that come out, I believe completely damaged his character as a player, as a human. You know, things like that should be kept under secret. And I don't want to get into, I guess people might be thinking right now, you know, maybe he's on drugs, but he was taking ADHD medicine from what the report states, you know, and in one incident, he accidentally, supposedly, took Ritalin instead of ADHD medicine, and that was triggered on a drug test that came up positive, which is basically why he, I guess, was being entered into this drug rehab program. But again, like I said, his career is really on the downslide at this moment. That Buccaneers have basically been trying to trade him, you know, basically they haven't been successful with trying to trade him or get him out of Tampa. He's also asked to be released instead of being traded, which would basically benefit him, but it wouldn't benefit the Buccaneers because they'll have to pay him. So I kind of see why both sides are going about you know, his career, the way they're going about it, you know, with the Bucks wanting to trade him and try to get as much value back for him. But as far as him wanting to be released, I'm not sure if that'll happen. It might have to happen because, like I said, we haven't heard anything or anything, nothing positive has come back from the trade request that, you know, or the trading, or the general manager trying to go out and basically move Josh Freeman. Terrible situation for Josh, and I feel deeply, you know, sorry for him and having to go through this situation, but I guess it's one of the life lessons that we have to go through, and we have to live and learn from the things that we do. You know, he fell out of favor with his coach, and ever since then, things have just not looked up for Josh Freeman. Like I said, I wish Josh the best. I feel deeply terrible. I feel deeply sorry for him and what he's been dealing with. But, like I said, it's sports, it's a business, and the business side takes over and sometimes can be very cruel. So then we jump into Matt Schaub, the infamous Matt Schaub. Like I told you earlier, I am a native of Houston, Texas, so, but I'm not a Texans fan. I grew up watching the Cowboys my whole life, so I'm definitely a Cowboys fan, but I've got the opportunity to spend time with some of my big-time Texans fans in recent weeks, and they are definitely not up on Matt Schaub right now. I want to say 85% of the city wants him gone, and me and Tony talked about Matt Schaub a couple of weeks ago, and both of us stated that we pretty much like Matt Schaub as a quarterback. I stated that, you know, he's not a terrible quarterback by any means, but he would have to step his game up and, you know, win some ball games and make some plays that would get his team over the top instead of just being that game manager, which is a statement that I hate to use for quarterbacks. You know, especially a quarterback that has stats like Matt Schaub, because I don't really think that he's a game manager. I think he's more of a, you know, a productive quarterback that can, you know, make some plays. But in recent weeks, he has made the wrong plays. When I say the wrong plays, pick sixes. And anytime your quarterback throws pick sixes in the NFL, can't be good. It always turns out to be ugly for that team unless they're up by, you know, 40 points, 20, 30 points at a time. You know, but I also feel bad for Matt, too. You know, Matt Schaub's been, you know, he actually shut down his Twitter today. It got so bad with the fans, you know, after to his, basically his pick six he had against the Seahawks this past week. And I don't blame him for the loss at all. Yeah, that was a terrible play by Matt Schaub. He should have never threw that ball. He should have just taken the sack. But he was stuck between a rock and a hard place. Real fast. NFL is a real fast game, and I guess he just had a brain fart and just decided to throw the ball anyway, and it was picked and it was housed. You know, it happened. Me being a Cowboys fan, once again, I've dealt with that for years with Tony Romo, you know, killing games and killing drives for the Cowboys. So, you know, I'm used to it at the end of the day. But it's been terrible for Matt Schaub. And like I told Tony, I think Matt Schaub is a good quarterback, and he shouldn't be getting scrutinized the way he's been getting scrutinized, but it happens. And it happens in the NFL on a daily or on a weekly basis. The quarterbacks take majority of the blame for just about any and everything that goes on with the offensive style of the football. And right now, Matt Schaub is not a fan favorite in Houston. And, you know, we've seen highlights on ESPN on the news of Pitt. Fans burning his jersey, which I feel like is terrible. You should never do that. You know, you shouldn't burn a man's jersey because he made a bad play. We all make mistakes, and if you could do better, you would be out there doing it. You would be out there on the field, possibly not him. And, you know, like I said, we all make mistakes, and he made a mistake. He's made several mistakes this year, but we have a long season to go. He has a long season to go, and I feel like he'll do better as the season progresses. And, you know, his team will do a lot better. If you want to blame anybody, you want to blame your defense for the collapse in the second half, letting Russell Wilson run wild. When I say he ran wild, not for a lot of yards, but big first downs and big drive changers and keeping those chains moving. for the Seattle Seahawks and allowing them the opportunity to get back into the game. All that was on Russell Wilson. Yes, granted, Richard Sherman made the pick and he housed it to tie the game up, but can't blame that game on Shaw. Definitely can't blame it on Shaw. Well, you know, I'm going to jump off Shaw and Tony called and told me that we would have a guest on the show. I'm not sure if she's online
Tina
as of yet.
Yeah, Tina.
Okay. Well, we're going to go ahead and bring Miss Tina Blunt on the show. She's, I guess, co-founder of the Little Platinum Patent. I'm not sure where they say. I guess it's in Florida. She's one of Tony's people. Well, we're going to bring her on right now, and she's going to give you a rundown of what it is her organization does and what they stand for. Just a whole kind of what. Miss Tina?
I'm here as well as my business partner, Charmaine Bell. She's the co-founder as well with Little Miss Platinum Patent.
Okay. Nice to meet both of y'all. You know, go ahead and give us a rundown of what your organization does.
Well, with Little Miss Platinum Pageant, we were established in 2012. We conduct all of our pageants with a positive learning experience for contestants of all nationalities to learn positive self-confidence, competition, and striving to be the best. At Little Miss Platinum Pageant, we became a South Florida success due to our last pageant we had, which was called the Gumdrop and Lollipop Scene that we held back in July.
Okay. And all that sounds excellent. So when you say pageant, is it just specifically for girls, or do y'all have guys involved? I guess little guys involved. You know, what age group do y'all go up to?
Well, currently we are accepting applications for 6 months to 14 years of age, and we do accept little kings into our pageant.
Okay. That's good. So all y'all who are listening to the show right now, y'all should check out Little Miss Platinum Pageant. And, you know, if you have some little cute kids that think they, or you think that they have the talent to do or what it is they do in pageant, sign them up.
That's right. We are currently conducting registration that will be held this Saturday and Sunday, October 5th and 6th, from 9 to 5 at the Embassy Suite Hotel at 1100 Southeast 17th Street in Fort Lauderdale.
Okay. And can you repeat that address for my fans once again so they can get that?
Absolutely. It's the Embassy Suite Hotel at 1100 Southeast 17th Street in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, from 9 to 5.
I hope y'all are listening to that. I hope to see y'all out and come support their organization. I definitely hope that y'all come out. The organization is always good to help out our youth. And everything that they seem to be doing this for, it's for a great cause. And I thank y'all for coming on the show today. It's a pleasure interviewing you or having you tell us about your organization.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. And don't forget to go like our Facebook page, Little Miss Platinum Pageant.
Did y'all hear that? I hope y'all heard that. Little Miss Platinum Pageant Facebook page. Y'all go out there and like that page right now.
Thank you.
Not a problem. Y'all have a great night.
You too.
Okay, thank you. And we want to jump into a commercial break right now, pay a couple of bills. And when we come back, we'll jump right back into our sports topics, dig a little deeper into those. I'll give you my honest opinion on just about any and everything that has to do with the sports world. See you in a few.
Sensational parties and more by Clandra Saints. Ready to decorate for your occasion. Whether it's for weddings, baby showers, anniversaries, graduations, homecoming, cherries, proms, and more. Give them a call. They have it all. She caters to all Tri-County areas. Palm Beach County, Broward and Dade County. Also, ask about affordable party packages. She has one to fit your party budget. Call and mention this ad and receive
$50 off your service.
That's right,
$50 off your services. Presented to you by Sensational Parties and More by Clandra Sands. Call at 954-708-0581. That's 954-708-0581. Call now.
Here live on the Tony Sands Show. I'm your co-host, Tony's main man, Mr. B, out of Dallas/Houston, Texas. And I was just sitting here listening to that first track. I absolutely love the song that Tony has, Are You Ready? Never heard that song until I started doing the show, but every time it comes on, I'm always kind of bouncing my shoulders and like bobbing my head to it. That song absolutely jams. Whoever made that song, Tony, for you, he did a great job. But anyway, that's beside the point. I'm going to jump back into these topics. And like I said earlier, I mentioned something about USC and the firing of Lane Kiffin. Was it a good move or was it a bad move for USC? Me, personally, I think it was a great move for USC. I mean, at the end of the day, Lane Kiffin has underachieved at a program that's not necessarily used to underachieving. When I say underachieving, I'm just going to take you back to last year. Last year, Lane Kiffin and his USC Trojan was the preseason number one ranked team in the country. At the end of the season, they were 7-6, and they lost in the Sun Bowl to the University, Georgia Tech. Team that at the beginning of the year, was not supposed to be able to compete with a team like the University of Southern Cal with a quarterback like Matt Barkley and those receivers and Marquise Lee and Robert Woods. There's no way that the University of USC should have lost a game like that. But with that being said, they lost that game, and they lost some of the genre or their swagger, per se, that USC continuously has throughout the years. As far as Lane being fired, like I said, I feel like that was a great move for USC. I just really feel like it was time to move on. You know, yeah, granted, USC is under academic probation and have suffered many, I guess, a few NCAA sanctions as far as the reduction of scholarships. And, you know, at one point, a bowl ban, you know. And I mean, but at the end of the day, it happens in the NCAA, and you have to find a way to overcome those circumstances. I really feel like Lane Kiffin was given a fair opportunity. Some people have been stating that they didn't feel like he was given a fair shot to succeed at the University of Southern California, but I absolutely think he was given the opportunity, and he just didn't produce, you know. And I'm not a knocker. I'm going to knock Lane Kiffin for his coaching or his coaching style or, you know, things that he's done in his past. But he doesn't really have the greatest, people don't really look at him as the greatest person right now, especially after, you know, things he did, or the way he did Tennessee. In a way, I can't blame him for leaving Tennessee the way he did, but it still was kind of terrible, in a sense, if y'all can kind of get where I'm going or understand what I'm saying. He pumped that program up and recruited those players and told their parents that he would be there for the long haul and that he wanted to, you know, be Florida and the Alabama of the SEC, and he failed to do so, only staying there one season and heading to USC, which I believe was his dream job. And that's why I say I kind of see why he left, and I kind of agree with the way he left or why he left. Anybody that has the opportunity to work their dream job, you know, I would say go ahead and do so. But in college football, you know, with the way coaches are fired this day and age, I don't know. You know, USC was coming off you know, were basically dealing with the NCAA at the time, his hire, you know, with the things that went on during the Pete Carroll era. And, you know, he came in, I guess, thinking that he could, I guess, get by or keep the program at the level that he was at when Pete left. Failed. Absolutely failed. Absolute failure. You know, 7-6 is not acceptable, I guess, to Southern California alumni or to, I guess, to anybody in that Southern California area that follow USC football. You know, and then this year he hadn't got off to one of the to a good start at all, and to get 62 points put up on you by a team that was drummed by Stanford the week before. I went to bed that night after watching the highlights of that game stating that Lane Kiffin will be fired at some point this week. I woke up Sunday morning, and the news had already surfaced that he had been fired as USC's head coach. Crazy. I had to put that on my Facebook status, you know. Man, I just went to sleep last night and said that Lane Kiffin would get fired. I mean, I really did believe it, but I didn't think it would happen within 12 hours of me or 8 hours of me being asleep and waking up the next morning. It happened, and it happens a lot in college football. Me and Tony have spoke about that numerous amount of times about how college coaches are fired, you know, how they watch, how do you go about being a coach and knowing that your job could be, you know, in jeopardy at any time. But he was fired. He was let go. And like I said, I think it was a great move for the University of Southern California. And I think that, you know, they are in the hunt for a new head coach. But that head coach will have to be somebody that can, you know, withstand the, I guess you want to say, the scrutiny that will come with a USC program, the media attention that comes with coaching at the University of Southern California. It's been rumors down here in Texas, and this is just rumors, you know, that what people were asking the question, do you think that Kevin Sumlin, the head football coach at the University of Texas and Texas A&M University, will be a good fit for University of Southern California? I'm going to stop right here and just say, hell no, because I don't think that would be the perfect spot for him. I feel like what he's building right now in A&M is something that's going to be great, even past Johnny Football. You know, he's right now probably one of the best, if not the best recruiter of the Texas area, above Mack Brown, above all the programs in the Texas area. You know, Texas A&M is absolutely killing the recruiting trail right now because a lot of the players are seeing what A&M has been doing, has done these past 2 years, you know, with, you know, the emergence of Johnny Football, you know. But I absolutely think that he's not a good fit, and he wouldn't be a good fit, and I think it would be a dumb move for him to leave Texas A&M and go to University of Southern Cal. So I really hope that that's just a rumor and it'll never happen. Definitely hope it'll never happen. I'm going to jump back into the NFL for a second. And we're going to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New York Giants. Both teams are 1-4 right now. Both teams. And I don't think any of us as football fans thought that the New York Giants or the Pittsburgh Steelers would be 0-4 at this point in the season. One thing I can say about both of those teams and why I feel like they're both going for is that neither one of those teams have an offensive line. They both have offensive line problems. You know, Pouncey was hurt for the Steelers in the first game of the season with a torn up knee. And ever since then, their offensive line has not been the same. I'm not even sure if they would have been any good with him. They might have been better. But they might not. I can guarantee they probably wouldn't have been that good with him on the field. And the Giants, on the other hand, their offensive line is terrible. I have never seen an offensive line in New York play the way that they have been playing as of recent. And I mean, that's not everything or all as to why both of those teams are 0-4. But that is a significant reason as to why both of those teams are 0-4. The offensive line and the I guess with the Steelers, they young wide receivers, they don't have a receiver, a go-to receiver as of yet. And I honestly think Ben needs that in his repertoire. He needs a go-to receiver that he can put the ball in his hands each and every game and know that he'll come up with that first down or that touchdown catch that's going to get them or prevail them or get them over the top. As far as the Giants, they have receivers. They have some excellent receivers. But Eli doesn't have any time to throw the ball to them. He doesn't have any time. He's been getting brutalized as far as sacks are concerned. Like, he's been getting brutalized, and that plays a big hand into why his interceptions are so high as of now. We all know Eli throws picks. But this year has been, like, it's been something totally different from what I've seen in recent years from Eli. And I want to say, and the reason why I say he doesn't have a line, and the running back and David Wilson has been a ginormous disappointment for the New York Giants. Ginormous disappointment. He hasn't done much of anything for the Giants, including fumbling the ball in the opener, and it's just been downhill from there. He did play a lot better in the past week against the Chiefs, but they got stomped 31-7. And so obviously he didn't do that much. But the offense as a whole didn't do much at all. And, you know, their safety in Amari Rowe, you know, he's been running his mouth a lot about, you know, the team is going to win out the rest of their games. And then he comes up and say that he feels that his team doesn't have the confidence that they can win. You know, I mean, what is it? Are they going to win the game? Or they don't have the confidence to win the game? Cause I know personally you have to have confidence to win football games. If they don't have confidence, then what you stated is very irrelevant because it won't happen because you need confidence to win ball games. Definitely need confidence to win ball games. Like I said earlier, I don't think anybody thought that the Pittsburgh Steelers or the New York Giants would ever be 0-4 at this point in the season. Maybe 2-2, maybe 1-3. I mean, for my God, even the Redskins got a victory this past week. Yeah, it was against the Raiders, and yeah, Terrell Pryor did not play because I really do feel like if Terrell Pryor had played in that game, the Raiders would have won that game. But Matt Flynn started. I mean, he didn't play terribly, but he didn't play good enough for the team to win the ball game against a struggling Redskins team. Matt, I want to say RG3 looked somewhat better, but he didn't look significantly better than he looked in past weeks. But, like I said, 0-4 is a terrible way to start the season. I'm not sure. I guess you can just write off both of those teams. I actually picked the Giants to win the division this year, you know, and that was probably the worst pick I've ever picked as a person following sports ever in my life. And, you know, I'm almost embarrassed that I picked the New York Giants the division, because as of right now, they make me look like I know nothing about sports or about football, because they look absolutely terrible. I mean, I wouldn't say they look as bad as the Jacksonville Jaguars, because they look absolutely awful, but the New York Giants are not far behind from the Jacksonville Jaguars. In a few minutes, I'm going to bring on my main man. Well, Tony's main man. He's becoming my main man because I absolutely love his intellect and the way that he, you know, he has all the information about the Denver Broncos. And, you know, the Denver Broncos and the Dallas Cowboys have a big game coming up this week in Dallas. So, you know, I'm going to bring him on, and I'm going to get him to give me the inside scoop on what he feels or how he feels this game is going to end up for the awesomely hot Peyton Manning. He added to his TD total this past weekend with 4 more touchdowns and a W in beating the Philadelphia Eagles, which I wouldn't say that's much to be because their defense is absolutely non-existent right now. But, hey, we'll bring him on in a second. I guess whenever we get him on the line or whatever, and we'll go back and forth, and we'll give y'all a rundown of that game. We'll give you a rundown, like I said, about that game. But the matchups this week, the matchups in the NFL have probably been, these are probably some of the best matchups that I've seen in in a while. You know, I can just call off about eight or nine games that are going to be some games that are very much worth watching. And I'm going to start off with the Detroit Lions versus the Green Bay Packers. Detroit is 3-1, and, you know, Green Bay is not necessarily struggling, but they're one of the teams coming off a bye of the last week. This is a great it's going to be a good rivalry. You know, a good game, a good, you know, division rivalry game.
You might want to go to break.
I'm not even sure who will win the game, but Detroit's playing good football right now. And Green Bay, I wouldn't say they're playing good football. They're, you know, a little bit banged up. And I don't know. I just don't know what to say about Green Bay. But we also have Seattle versus Indianapolis. As we know, the Colts went to San Francisco and beat San Francisco, the same team that Seattle beat in Seattle. But Seattle gets to go to Indianapolis this week and take on the Indianapolis Colts, a team that's no pushover by any means. And Seattle had everything they could handle in the Houston Texans. And they should get everything that they can handle out of the Indianapolis Colts. But right there, I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to jump into a commercial break for a few seconds, pay a couple of bills. And when we get back, I'll jump right back into those matchups. And then we'll bring my main man, BC, out of Denver on. And we'll jump into that Denver Broncos versus Dallas Cowboys matchup, which should be a very interesting topic.
Ladies, whether you're trying to look good for that special someone, or you're Miss Independent and you just want to look good for yourself, listen, you need to scratch where you've been going, cause sensational is where you need to be. Where they specialize in shortcuts, weaves, sew-ins and wraps and so forth. At Sensational Beauty Salon, it's guaranteed that they'll have you looking. For an appointment, call 954-786-3997. That's 954-786-3997. Located at 801 South Dixie Highway, Suite 5 in Cypress.
Commercial brought to you by Focus and Dirty B.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight? Or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport. Just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you gotta get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball. Yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Brains in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
And we're back here live on the Tony Sands Show, the hottest sports radio show in the country. And like I said before we went on to that commercial break, I was giving y'all a rundown of some of these great NFL matchups that they're having this coming up week. Like I said, I haven't seen matchups like this in a while. You know, like this, like I'm going to literally sit in front of my TV this Sunday and Monday and watch football. I mean, I typically do that every week, but this week, I'm not taking any breaks. I'm not going to leave to go to the store or talk to my family. No, I'm just joking. I talk to them many times. But I'm going to literally sit down and watch some of these intriguing matchups that we have. And when I stop with the Seattle versus Indianapolis game. I think that's going to be a good game. And like I said, we watched Indianapolis go into San Francisco and dominate San Francisco. They went into San Francisco and hit them in the mouth and kind of played a style of football that San Francisco is used to playing, which is smash mouth, you know, running the ball down your throat, stop, play great, a physical defense. Indianapolis hadn't been known for that. We're a passing team as of last year. Andrew Luck was a passing quarterback, you know, very good quarterback, but he's a passing quarterback. He hadn't really been, their offense hadn't really been known for the run game, but like the trade for Trent Richardson, I guess, has brought a spark to the Indianapolis Colts after the touchdown this past week for that Indianapolis Colts team. But Seattle's coming in, and they're the number one ranked team in the NFL. So I've circled this game specifically for that. We watched Seattle show why they're the number one ranked team in the NFL last week against the Houston Texans when they were able to come back from a 20-3 deficit at halftime to win the game in overtime, 23-20. It was a great game. I really don't see how Houston lost the game, but they did. And Seattle showed exactly why they are considered the number one team in the NFL. Russell Wilson is somebody to be reckoned with. And that's another intriguing part about this matchup versus Indianapolis. Those two quarterbacks came out in the same class. Those are two quarterbacks that we talked about the most as of last year, with the except with me, along with Robert Griffin III. And at some point throughout the season, we talked a little bit about Tannehill from the Miami Dolphins. But Russell Wilson and Andrew Luck, by far, having two outstanding seasons in their sophomore campaigns. You know, not so much Robert Griffin III, but I think he'll get better as the season goes on. Tannehill's having a pretty decent game, pretty decent season, but we watched him this past week on Monday Night Football get slaughtered by those New Orleans Saints. New Orleans Saints, somebody to reckon with. The NFL better watch out for those Saints. But anyway, that matchup between Russell Wilson and Andrew Luck, one for the decades, I can guarantee it's going to be one for the ages. People should literally sit down and watch these two great young quarterbacks at each other. And I just spoke to y'all about the New Orleans Saints. They're at Chicago. Chicago got beat up pretty badly this past week by that Detroit Lions team, which was a division game, you know. But this shouldn't—I don't really think they should even hold their head down for, you know, taking that L. Detroit has a pretty good team, and Reggie Bush, with the addition of Reggie Bush to that team, man, it makes them even that much more dynamic on the offensive side of the ball with Calvin Johnson, Reggie Bush. That tandem, running, passing, it's going to be something to reckon with in the NFL, especially in that division this year. But, like I said, New Orleans is at Chicago this coming up week. That should be a good game. You know, Chicago's a little bit banged up on the defensive side of the ball. You know, New Orleans is a very good offensive team, and the defense is slowly but surely starting to come up. It's coming around, playing excellent football under new defensive coordinator Rob Ryan, ex-Dallas Cowboys defensive coordinator. He has the boys playing some football. I honestly can't even name but a few players on their defensive side of the ball, and that's in the secondary. I know nothing about their defensive line, those outside linebackers, but they're being impressed, and they're getting to the quarterback. So, Jay Cutler hasn't been sacked a lot this past season for the first time in his career, or I would say for the first time with the Chicago Bears. But he better have his head on the swivel this upcoming week, because those defensive end / outside linebackers for the New Orleans Saints, they coming. This should be a good one. This should be a great game. This should be a scoring game. You know, not one of those defensive battles, but a good scoring game where you can see a lot of touchdowns, some points put up on the board. I actually think that this could be the end of New Orleans' undefeated run. You know, I'm going to go with Chicago Bears, you know, more so because they're playing at home and they have a pretty good, solid defense. You know, if Tillman seems like if he's healthy, you know, healthy enough to get off guard, you know, close. Ooh, this it's a tough task. And then Jimmy Graham, on the other hand, I don't see a safety or a cornerback in the National Football League checking Jimmy Graham at all. He's by far the best tight end in the game right now, you know, ahead of the Vernon Davises and, you know, ahead of everybody. And, you know, point even naming off the rest of the tight ends. But this guy here is dynamic, and he will put up numbers each and every week. Only way you stop him is to double-team him. But when you double-team and triple-team him, that leaves everybody else open on that Saints offense. Those receivers, that running back, and Darren Sproles, it's just too many weapons for a team to have to stop. But with that being said, I do, like I said, this will be a scoring game. And I think with Chicago, there's a little bit of defense, maybe a turnover here, maybe a sack or fumble there, a sack fumble recovery there, could win that ball game. And then we got Houston. Woo, Houston, man. Fans mad at Houston right now, like we talked earlier in the show. But they go to San Francisco this week. And I think Houston has a shot. You know, even with San Francisco kind of struggling with on the offensive side of the ball and Patrick Rufus on the defensive side is kind of hurting right now with the groin injury, I think Houston has an opportunity to go in there and make a statement. They had an opportunity to make a statement last week and came up short in the second half, basically. But this week is an opportunity for redemption. They get an opportunity to go into San Francisco, the same thing that their division rival, the Indianapolis Colts, did, went into San Francisco and beat San Francisco. Now, I'm not calling that. I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen. But I don't know. This is one of those games where I just don't know. If Matt Schaub can play better than what he played and not turn the ball over with those pick sixes once again, then Denver has an opportunity to, you know, not Denver, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Houston has an opportunity to beat San Francisco. If Colin Kaepernick can play better than what he had been playing in recent weeks, you know, not turning the ball over, get back to the smash mouth, pound and ground, you know, game that they had ran in recent years, this should be a good one. It's a battle of two teams that's kind of similar to each other as far as the ground game is concerned. You know, Kaepernick is far more dynamic as a football player in general than Matt Schaub is. But he hadn't put up the numbers that Matt Schaub has put up in the passing game. And he's growing as a quarterback. You know, he's still learning the game. And, you know, people have film on him now, so they're able to slow him down. I like they were able to slow him down last year. And then we get into the Denver and Dallas game. Well, we weren't able to get my man VC on the line today. I don't know. Maybe he's busy working. I don't know. But this should be an intriguing game. Now, it won't be intriguing at all. Dallas comes out and plays defense like they played defense last week against the San Diego Chargers. They got destroyed. That second half, I don't know what Monty Kiffin and his defensive, you know, coaches were doing, but I don't really feel like the Dallas Cowboys changed up their scheme or disguised just about anything for against the San Diego Chargers and Phillip Rivers last week. He picked them apart, starting in the last drive of the first half, all the way through the second half, completely picked the Dallas Cowboys secondary and linebackers apart. And now they're playing Peyton Manning, the hottest quarterback in the league. And he picks apart just about every defense. So, I don't know. I told Vaughn and Tony last week, the key to beating the Denver Broncos or even having an opportunity or a chance at beating the Denver Broncos is to get pressure on Peyton. And the Cowboys didn't do much of that last week against the San Diego Chargers. And the Denver Broncos, I believe, have a better line than the Chargers. And they'll be blocking for arguably the best quarterback in the NFL right now. And he'll be, you know, dissecting defenses like he normally does in each and every game. But if they're unable to get pressure on Peyton, it's a no-brainer. Peyton's going to shred. He's going to shred him. Now, the offense can, and I say the offense of the Dallas Cowboys can get in the flow, run effectively, you know, keep those chains moving, and keep Peyton off the field, then that might be their best bet, you know, run that football. run that ball with DeMarco Murray, run those short passes to you know, my main man, Dez Bryant and Jason Witten. Not sure if Marlon Austin is available, will be available this week, but if so, then, you know, him too. But that's the formula. I believe that's the formula. You have to get pressure on Peyton, and you have to run the football against him if you're unable to get pressure on him. And when I say run the football, that's solely to keep him off the field and chew up time. After that, we got New England at Cincinnati. Cincinnati's struggling this year. They lost to the Cleveland Browns last week. And Cleveland, it's crazy how Cleveland's been winning games ever since they traded Trent Richardson, but they have. And I don't know how. I don't know why, but they've been winning games. This backup quarterback, third-string quarterback in Hoyer, has been balling. Balling. And his tight end camera, balling. New England, they're receivers are starting to come along. If Danny Amendola can get back and be healthy, he'll be a plus for Tom Brady. So, but I think New England will win this game in Cincinnati. Buffalo and Cleveland, two teams that we never expected to win or to be winning the games like this. Both of those teams are 2-2. Both of them have young quarterbacks and rookies, and both of them are producing. They're not overwhelmingly producing, but they're teams an opportunity to win ball games. That should be a good matchup. Even though people don't really watch Buffalo or watch Cleveland, I personally think this should be a good matchup. And then Baltimore versus Miami, this is my last one. And we're going to be ready to head out. This should be a good one also. Baltimore's coming off a loss last week. They got manhandled. And then Miami's coming off a loss this past week. They got manhandled. So we'll have to see, you know, which team is going to be up to, you know, revenge their losses of this past week. I don't know who's going to win the game. I think Boston will come out on top. Just, you know, for this is the experience and them being there. And I think Flacco will have a bounce back game after the 5 interceptions that he threw last week. Tannehill should play pretty much the same way he's been playing. He didn't really have I take that back. He had a pretty atrocious game against the New Orleans Saints with the fumble and the fumbles and the interceptions.
Already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Praise in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.